Okay, so good morning. Welcome back. It's Chodesh Elul. Unfortunately, it's not going to be a smooth sail through the Chodesh Elul because next week I will be in Chutz Laaretz for a simcha of my nephew's wedding. So I won't be giving shiur from the other side of the ocean. The week after, I think I probably won't manage it either. We're getting back in the wee hours of Tuesday morning. I don't know if I'm going to have the kohos to give a shiur at 10:30. Maybe, maybe not. For now, I'm saying probably not. If an email goes out, then you know there will be shiur. So that means this will be a shiur now, and the next one will be in 3 weeks' time. So I'm sorry about that. But at least we can continue and get to move on with the subject of Halachas Neiros. And we had a whole bunch of miscellaneous halachas that pertain to lighting candles and Shabbos. So we have a discussion that's discussed quite in length in Hanukkah, it's stricter than Shabbos, but the question is, Hadlaka Oisa Mitzvah or Hanocha Oisa Mitzvah? Is it the ignition of the fire, which is the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neiros, or is it the placing it in the right place, Hadlakas Neiros, is the main part of the mitzvah? When it comes to Hanukkah candles, where we're not actually allowed to have benefit from the candles, so there we say that Hadlaka Oisa Mitzvah, the ignition of the candle, is what the mitzvah really is. And this condition has got to have oil, it's got to have wick, it's got to burn for so long, etc., etc. But the Etzem Mitzvah is the lighting of the candle. Therefore, you have to have it in a way that it is considered kosher when you light it, in the right place, at the right time, and then you makai the mitzvah. Whereas on Shabbos, Mi'ika Hadin, the idea of lights is that you should have light in your house on Shabbos. So although we say the bracha is lehadlik ner shel Shabbos, in order that we make a bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu, I'm commanded in your mitzvahs to light candles. So it sounds like the ignition is what is the mitzvah. It's a part of the mitzvah. The ikka mitzvah is that there should be light in your house. So that's the ikka mitzvah should be light, but since the part of the mitzvah is the ignition, is the actual lighting, so we're going to be makpil on the lighting, lechatchila, at least, that it should be done in the right place and time. So with time we've already spoken about, if you lit before the Zman, if you lit before Plaga Mincha, then that's not considered lighting the Kvod Shabbos, and you need to extinguish the candles and light them again. And we spoke about various other examples of the timing. Now we're going to talk about the place. So we've said that the light of Shabbos, Mi'ikadin, you need light in any place that you're going to be using in your house, in your home over Shabbos. The Ikka place, the most important place, is that where you eat, and therefore the candle should be lit on or near the table where you're going to have your su'uda. But you also are going to have light in other places in the house. The main candle is the one at the table, and that's the one that we're going to make the bracha on. We said if you're going to light candles all around the house, you light those ones first and then the ones at the candle. Today, and then the ones at the table. Today, where we have electric lighting, we don't bother with candles in our bedrooms. Hafuch, it might just be a fire hazard, but we make sure that there's light in the bedrooms. If the light on the time station won't disturb you from sleeping, put light on your bedroom. If not, then at least have light in the passageway. So when you open the door, the light goes into the bedroom, or light in an ensuite bathroom that allows that you can close the door and open the door that will allow. Or you have a Shabbos lamp that's also covered Shabbos to light such a thing. And it's like a mitzvah that all these lights that you're going to be putting on in your house, in the bathrooms, in the hallway, in the Shabbos lamps, or whatever it is, should all be done lechol Shabbos. But the main mitzvah is the one that's done at the table, and that's where the wife, the woman of the house, is going to light her candles and make the bracha, and the husband, as we spoke about, his mitzvah, if he wants to participate, is either preparing the candles and or not either or, it's and or, in order to light the candles in the other rooms. So that is the where the chiyuv is. But because there is there's an issue in the hadlaka should be done in the right place, so therefore the candles should be placed in the place where they're going to be staying for the meal and lit there and left there, not moved. So the lechatchila, we're going to see the evidence in a moment, but lechatchila, the candles should be put in the place that they're going to stay for the duration of the Friday night meal, whether that means on the table or adjacent to the table, on a shelf next to the table, whatever your way, a convenient and safe way of doing it is. then that's where the candle should be, and that's where you light them, and you should move them afterwards, and you shouldn't light them somewhere else and bring them here. However, and even if you lit them in a place where you're chayvin candles, for example, you don't have electric light in your kitchen and you light candles there, and now you take some of the candles from the kitchen and you put them in the living room. So lemaisa, you lit candles in the kitchen because there's a chiyuv to light in the kitchen, and that is a place that's chayv in candle lighting. Nevertheless, that's not the lechachila to do, to light them in one place and bring them to another, but rather you should light them where they're going to be staying. Now, however, b'shas hatzorech, as I said, Shabbos candles are different to Hanukkah candles. Hanukkah candles, that is the etz mitzvah. There's not really much else to the mitzvah, and therefore if you didn't do it that way, it's out. On Shabbos, the main part of the mitzvah is to have light. So although you need to light, there's a mitzvah in the hadlaka, there's a mitzvah in the ignition, and that should be done in the right time and place. But because the ikah is to have light, so if for a case of necessity, you want to light it somewhere else and then bring them in, we're going to allow it on the Shabbos candle. So for example, if a woman is bedridden for whatever reason, whether she's unwell or after birth is irrelevant. The point is that she is bedridden and cannot get to the living room, and she wants to be mekayim in the midst of hadlachas neiros. So the candles can be brought to her bedroom, because the bedroom is a place where you chayev in having light there. She can light the candles in her bedroom and then have them placed in the dining room. And that way, she can still be mekayim in the mitzvah of hadlachas neiros and make a brach on them. But unfortunately, she can't get to the living room, so someone else will bring them to the living room. So in a case of need, it may be done. Just a couple of points is that A, the lighting must be done in a place that it itself is chayev in hadlaka. So if for whatever reason, I can't think of an example, but you have a machsan, and the machsan you have no intention of going into over Shabbos. You've taken everything you need out of the machsan before Shabbos. You have no reason to think that you might be going into your machsan on Shabbos. Therefore, your machsan is potter from hadlachas neiros. And for whatever reason, someone decided to light the candles in the machsan and then transfer them to the living room. That is not a kosher lighting. And if you made a bracha on it, it's a bracha levatala, and you have to blow them out and light again and make a fresh bracha. So number one, it has to be done in a place where it itself is chayv in hadlachas. So a woman in her bedroom, because she's bedridden, bedroom is a place that's chayv in candles. You don't want to leave the lights on because you're not going to be able to sleep. So we have all sorts of other ways of doing it. We have Shabbos lights, we have lights in the hallway, whatever. But essentially, this is a place that's chayv in hadlaka. Therefore, if she lit the candles in her bedroom, if she's lighting it in a place that is chayv in hadlaka. So condition number one, if you're going to light it in a place and then move it, obviously only in the Shas HaTzorah, so then it's got to be a place that it itself is chayv in hadlaka. And number two, most poskim hold, is that the candle should not be held in the hands of the person who's moving them. They should be placed down on a surface, whether it's a chair or a table or a bedside table, whatever it is, but they should be placed down, lit, and then moved. And obviously, the person who moves the candles must be someone who has not yet been the Kapel Shabbos. A similar case of need would be if you have multiple candles that you're lighting at the Shabbos table, next to or on the Shabbos table, and before you finish lighting all the candles that you wanted to light, the match that you're holding goes out. And now you look and you see that happened to be the last match in the house. So what do you do to light the rest of the candles? So we said that you're not allowed to light an intermediary with the Shabbos candles, because the Shabbos candles are a ner mitzvah, and a ner mitzvah, you can light another ner mitzvah with it, but you can't light a ner reshus. The intermediary, the match that you use to go from one candle to the next, is considered ner sherushus. You shouldn't light that intermediary from the Shabbos candles. So you don't have any matches. You might want to go outside and get a splinter of wood. That doesn't help, because you can't ignite it from the existing candle. So what do? You take the existing candle and directly light the remaining candles. So what are you doing? You've lit candle number one, or even number two, or even number three, but you're picking up one of the existing candles and moving it out of its place, and using it to now light the subsequent candles which have not yet been lit. You're moving it out of place. So true, you're not moving it from one side of the apartment to the other, from a bedroom to a living room, but you're moving it. You've been metal to the candle. So that also should be avoided unless there is no other way. So as we said, if there, it happened, here's the example he gives, is the match went out, or the match got to the end, and you discovered you got no more matches, so there's no other way to do it. So then you will pick up the Shabbos candle that has been lit already, and you can move it, because you need to, and when you put down again, you put it down in the place that it belongs. Once the candles are lit, so we're going to treat them as muktzah and treat them as Shabbos candles and designated for their purpose, and should not be filled with or changed, or even to add more oil in. If you have oil candles, you leave them as is, even for, so obviously we're not talking about someone who's makabel Shabbos, because then obviously there's problems of muktzah and problems of havara and who knows what. But we're talking about even someone who has not yet been makabel Shabbos, and he sees, oh, husband sees the wife lit candles, and he sees, I didn't put enough oil in, it's not going to burn long enough, he wants to add more, no, or put it on this side of the shelf, he wants it on that side of the shelf, puts it on this shelf, he wants it on the table, it's on the table, wants it on the shelf, it's all in the same living room, all in the same. We don't touch the Shabbos candles after they are lit, obviously, unless there is some extenuating circumstance, then we can be made to it. Legabe, touching the Shabbos candles without moving them, the din is then just like in muktzah, that muktzah, essentially, the issur is to move muktzah, not to touch muktzah, but we say that touching which leads to moving is also. So the example given is an egg. An egg is round, an egg that was laid on Shabbos is muktzah, and touching an egg on Shabbos, such an egg on Shabbos, might cause it to roll, and therefore you can't touch a round egg, because a round egg will roll, and therefore your touching causes it to move. But if it's in a container, it's not going to move, so touching is not a problem. Therefore, the things that we used to tell each other as kids, don't touch it's muktzah, is actually incorrect. Negia bo muktzah min adin is mutter. We used to walk home from shul and someone would touch a car. Don't touch muktzah. The maisa, halacha lemaisa, that is incorrect. You can touch a car. On Shabbos, your touching is not going to cause it to roll, to move, to bounce, or anything like that. And therefore, that is mutter, a candle. So it depends on what type of candle it is. If it's suspended a lamp from the ceiling and you touch it and now it's going to swing, so that will be also to touch. If it's a candlestick and your touching is not going to move it, so then touching is fine. Once you have your candles burning, as we said, the difference between Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles are lit to commemorate the nes, and there's also lishtamish bohem. You may not get benefit from the light of the candles. There are extenuating circumstances, but that's for a shiur on Hilchos Hanukkah. Shabbos candles are made for you to enjoy, made for you to get benefit from them. Therefore, you're allowed to get benefit from the Shabbos candles. You enjoy your Shabbos meal. You can read your Divrei Torah, and you can read your non-Divrei Torah, whatever you're allowed to read on Shabbos. You can read it next to the Shabbos candles as well, because we don't limit it to Tashmish or Mitzvah. It doesn't have to be Dafkum a Mitzvah that you're doing next to the candles. You can also do a Dvar HaRashus, something that is non-mitzvah related, can also be done to the light of the candles. The only restriction is what we call a tashmish bozoi, if it was used in a way that would be degrading to the candles. An example given of that is using your Shabbos candles to give you light so that you can change a child's diaper or to change a child into pajamas. That this is not a place for a child to be changed and left undressed even for a short amount of time in front of the Shabbos candles. That should not be done. So also to place garbage in front of the Shabbos candles would be considered as degrading and should also be avoided. I don't know who would do such a thing, especially since our Shabbos candles are usually on a shelf or a sideboard or something like that. But just an example of, it is a tashmish mitzvah. It's something that has been set aside for the use of the mitzvah, and therefore you've got to treat it with a certain level of honor. And although you can use it for your personal benefit, even if it's not mitzvah related, but you have to be careful that it shouldn't be in a degrading manner. Now, there's a din when a person does a mitzvah for the first time, you make shechiyonu on such a mitzvah. The question is, does this always apply, and does it apply to all mitzvahs? Does it apply to hadlakas neiros? If a woman has never lit Shabbos candles in her life, and now she gets the first opportunity, usually that is after she gets married, and now she's the very first Shabbos that after she's married, Shabbos Sheva Brachos, does she make Shechiyonu on her very first Hadlakas Neiros? The bottom line is, it's Talon Minig. If that is the Minig in the family, then she may make Shechiyonu. If it's not the Minig in the family, she shouldn't. And if they don't know what the Minig is, or there is no fixed Minig, then most possibly say avoid making Shechiyonot, because there is a machlokus whether you should or shouldn't, and if she feels that she wants to make Shechiyonot on her very first hadlaka, then she should put herself into a situation where she's anyway chayev on Shechiyonot and have the two things in mind. How do you anyway chayev? Wear a new garment, which Shabbat Sheva Bracha is probably not difficult, because most, a lot of women will have a new dress for Shabbat Sheva Bracha. So there you go, she's got a new dress for Shabbat Sheva Bracha, so they have in mind to put it on just before she lights candles, and when she lights candles, then you make the Shechiyonot, and you have in mind both the candles and the dress. Or have a new fruit, keep it next to the candles, and as soon as you're able to eat it, because once you light candles, you can't eat, we'll talk about it in a minute, so you have to eat it then, but eat it as soon as possible. However, this got to be her very first time. Even for a woman who has the meaning to make Shechiyonot on Hadlakas Neres, it's got to be her first time. If she has lit before, and forgot to make Shechiyonot then, or didn't know about the minig and only found out the minig after she got married, then she loses out, she doesn't have the Shechiyonot. And that is not just a woman who, say, was single and lived on her own for a couple of years until she got married, and now she had a Hadlakas Neres in her apartment, but even in a case where parents went away for Shabbos and left the kids behind, and then the oldest daughter in the house went and lit candles for Shabbos, that is her first time of lighting candles. And that happened to me. I've been away from Shabbos and left children behind and they lit Shabbos candles. So those girls who have done such a thing should know that they have done Hadlakas Neres once before when they got married, even if they were told that the minhag is to make Shechiyonot, they do not make Shechiyonot because it's not their first time anymore. Could be if the family minhag is to make Shechiyonot on Hadlakas Neres, then when the parents go away for Shabbos and it's her first time to light candles, then she should make Shechiyonot. Possibly. There is, in the Gemara Chazal Telas, Harogil Bener, Havin Loibon in Tamid Chachomim, someone who is regular, if you translate it as a very generic term, regular with candles, he will have children that are Tamid Chachomim. The Mepharshim say regular doesn't just mean, oh, I always like someone who's careful to do the mitzvah properly and to be mahadir with the mitzvah. The schar, well, one of the things written about the schar of the mitzvah is you have Bon in Tamid Chachomim, that's why it's become the minig. Hence, an accepted practice that is recommended that at the Shas Hadlakas Neres, a woman should daven for the success of her children and that they should become Tamid Chachamim. Interesting, I saw in a footnote brought down in the name of the Das Torah that the schus of a woman in lighting candles is when her husband and children actually learn by the candlelight. Interesting, I didn't see it brought down over here, but I've seen that there are those who say when is the proper time to make the tefillah b'hadlakas neres, because we know that Shabbos is not a time for making personal bakoshes. We daven whatever Chazal told us to daven, and public bakoshes we make, and therefore we can daven Shmona Esrei, but to make personal bakoshes we don't do on Shabbos. So isn't that a bit of a stira, a contradiction, that a woman lights candles on the Kabbal Shabbos and then sits down and makes a tefillah for her personal success of herself and her children and her family and all the rest? Isn't that a problem of making bakoshas on Shabbos? The question is asked, but I believe that the minig is that is the order that women do it, is they light candles and then they say their tefillahs. A candle that did not burn out fully. It went out and there's now still some fuel left, whether that was wax, paraffin, oil, or whatever the candle was burning from, and there's a little bit left over or a lot left over, doesn't matter. Whether the candle went out shortly after it was lit or went out late into the night, whether it went out during the meal or afterwards, whether it was still shas hadlacha, because we need to make candles that last throughout the meal. So even if it was during the meal that went out, it doesn't really make a difference to what's left in. Because we see, the reason why we discuss this problem is because in Hanukkah it does make a difference when it went out. But the Ikar Halacha makes a difference what time it went out. But Shabbos candles, if for whatever reason it went out, didn't burn well, or someone opened the door and it blew it out, or something like that, or just sometimes they just go out. And there's a little bit of fuel left at the bottom. That fuel is not hektish, it's not set aside for Kedusha, and therefore you may use it for anything else. If it's good quality olive oil and you want to put into your salad, that is fine, but you may not do it on Shabbos. It is muktzah, it's been set aside for the candle, So anything left over from the candles after the candles go out is mukta. But after Shabbos, you can do what you like with it. So you want to light a, want to collect the drip the wax and make a new candle out of it, fine. You want to use the oil for something else, or say, I mean, obviously, if you want to leave, you have oil candles and there's oil left over and you want to leave it in and next week you just add on, that's fine. That's not a question because it was Shabbos candle, not again Shabbos candle. But look at so there was a power cut and you needed light. And I said, oh, I have a little bit of oil inside, so just light the leftover Shabbos candle. That is mutter, even if it's in the middle of the week and you're doing it for your own personal use and not for a mitzvah. That's not, the leftover fuel is not mukta, and if it can be used. There is a discussion what to do with leftover wax or something like that, or even leftover oil that you don't want to use. You want to clean it out and put a fresh candle in for next week, but right now you don't want to use it. Can you discard of it in any way you feel, or must you treat it differently? The general psak is that you can do what you like with it. You can throw it in the garbage. You can discard it. You can pour the leftover oil out. I'm not giving the recommendation to pour it down the drain. It all depends on what you do with leftover oil, whether you pour it down your drain or not. Ask your local plumber that one. But you may discard of it in any way you want. There is the Kafa Chaim who brings that perhaps it's since it was used for a mitzvah, so you should treat it like any other mitzvah item, which means that you're allowed to discard of it, but you got to discard of it in a dignified manner. And we have this discussion, Lagabe, worn out tzitzis. We had the discussion about your schach after Sukkot. If you have stuff that you're not going to be keeping for next year, what do you do with it? So basically, we divide our mitzvah items into two categories. There's tashmishei kedusha and tashmishei mitzvah. Tashmishei kedusha are things that are related to Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs, and they have a different halacha, they have a different category, and we treat them of a much higher level, and could be they need to go into gneza. So not going to go off and discuss the whole discussion, but a mezuzah case, or a tefillin bag, or a mantle, a coat that was used to cover Sefer Torah, or even the cloth that was used to cover the bima when the Sefer Torah is read, all those things are considered tashmishei kedusha. You get tashmish to tashmishei kedusha, you have your tefillin in a box, and the box is in a bag, and the bag is in another bag, what's the deal with it? That's all tashmishei kedusha, but then the tashmishei mitzvah. Tashmishei mitzvah are things that are regular household, regular daily, day-to-day things, but you went and used them for a mitzvah. So you made tzitzis, or you made schach, or something like that, and now you want to discard it. So your tzitzis became possible, or the schach is no longer used. It was, you used palm branches, and they're going to dry out, and there's no use for them, and you want to discard them. So the halacha is the tashmishei mitzvah, you may discard them, you may throw them out, as long as you don't treat them in a derogatory way. That means that you can actually put them on the street and have the iria come with their truck and pick it up and take it off and do what they do with leftover scarf. That's not a problem. But when you put them on the street, do not put them in a way that people are going to end up walking on it, because that's degrading. Put them nicely on the side, or stack them up with the area, just to stack them up that no one's going to step on them, no one's going to drive on them, they're not going to disturb anybody. And also, as from an area point of view, only put them out on the day that they collect wood cuttings. But the same thing with all other tashmishei mitzvah, you don't have to put them into gneza, you don't have to put a worn out pair of tzitzis into gneza. You may throw it out, but it's got to be done in a nice way. What's done in a nice way is that you put it into a bag, you wrap it up, and then you can discard it, so it's not sitting next to the rotten tomato that you threw out, but rather it's in its own bag. So too over here, if you says the Kafa Chaim, although we said the Ikka Psak seems to be that any leftover oil or wax can be discarded and put into the bin or flushed down the toilet, nevertheless, Yesh Omer that you should treat it as a Dvar Mitzvah and therefore just discard it in a nice way, not in a derogatory way. Another Halachot Lagavi Hadlachas Neris, and that is, once we have said above, that once a woman lights candles, she is Mekabel Shabbos. There are times when men also are Mekabel Shabbos, if that's what the intention was. We said by men it's not as binding, by women they need to do it unless they take a Tanai to do it otherwise, and the Tanai can only be done in Shas Atchak, whereas by men they can make the Tanai without needing a Shas Atchak. But the bottom line is, someone who lit candles is Mekabel Shabbos. Through that lighting candles, they get all Dinei Shabbos on them, which means that from now onwards, they have a chiyuv kiddush. And when you have a chiyuv kiddush, you may not eat or drink anything before you have made kiddush. Therefore, from the moment a woman lights candles, nothing may pass her lips on the way in unless she makes kiddush. What about making kiddush like we do on Shabbos morning, where you make kiddush and you have a cookie and you have a mezonos? That's a kula that we allow for Shabbos morning, and generally we don't allow it on Friday night. So if a woman really needs to make kiddush Friday night, she should actually have bread to have kiddush b'makom suda. Obviously, the best is to wait for her husband to come home or whatever meal she's going to be taking part of. But there's no eating or drinking. What Novit brings, that if it's still before Shkia, which generally it is because a woman lights candles, preferably 20 minutes, half an hour, 40 minutes before Shkia, and now it's still before Shkia, and she's thirsty, so the water can be drunk until Shkia. So if a woman lit candles and she's very thirsty, then we allow for water. If she has a hard time drinking water, then you can also have tea, he says. Look how that, what he means by tea, he means something that has been slightly flavored. I don't think he means dafka tea, but something that's slightly flavored just to help the water go down. But no eating or drinking on after candle lighting. Therefore, a woman who wants to light her candles on time but knows that she's going to need to eat and drink, for example, she's ill, or a woman who is nursing and therefore she needs to eat and drink. So what she should do is, this would be a time where we say that it's mutter for her to light with a tznai, and she should taka light her candles the tznai that she's not makabel Shabbos, so that she can continue or she can have something to eat and to drink after she lights candles. But this only helps until Shkia. Once Shkia comes, then it's Shabbos, and there's no more eating and drinking, even if she lets out tonight, and then the only way to continue eating and drinking would be to make kiddush. So that brings us to the end of that section of Hadlakas Neis. We're going to get this, don't worry, there's still lots more coming. Who's chayev, where you chayev, and all the rest. Don't know anything about the Hadlaka. But there's an interesting chapter that comes in before that of the differences and the nuances, the Gabi Hadlakas Neis, on the other occasions in the year, otherwise known as Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. So we'll make a start on that, and that I don't know how far we'll get, and as I said, I'm not sure when the next year will be, so follow the emails. On Yom Tov, there is a chiyuv to light candles, just like there is on Shabbos, that you've got to have light in the house for Shalom Bayit, and you've got to have light at the table for Oneg, for Simcha. And although we said that there's a mitzvah to light two candles on Shabbos because of a remez of Zohar v'Shomar, that was said in the Seres Adibus, the Gabi Shabbos was not said about Yom Tov, but the meaning is that on Yom Tov you should also be makbid that the minimum amount of candles that you light is two. The correct time to light candles on Erev Yom Tov is the same time that you would light them on Erev Shabbos. That means if you're lighting a half an hour before Shkia on Erev Shabbos, then you should light your candles half an hour before Shkia on Yom Tov as well. There are those who have a minhag not to light the candles then, but wait till the men come home from shul, and before the meal, that's when they light candles. I think I've spoken about this before, but let's go a little bit into a couple of details about that. So I saw the reason for such a minhag is because there's Yom Tov Sheni, and it can get confusing. Meaning, we know that there's an Issur Hachana. You may not prepare from a day of Kedusha to a day of lesser Kedusha. In fact, even for higher Kedusha, there's a discussion. And that's why we make Erev Tavshilin when we want to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. But from Shabbos to Yom Tov, or Shabbos to weekday, or Yom Tov to weekday, or even Yom Tov Rishon to Yom Tov Sheni, there's an Issur Hachana. You may not make preparations for the second day on the first day. Therefore, on Yom Tov, when you have 2-day Yom Tov, by us here in Eretz Yisrael, that's only relevant with Rosh Hashanah, but in Chutzal, that applies to all the Yom Tovim. So anything that is a preparation for the second day cannot be done on the first day, and you have to wait till the first day has properly ended. You have to wait till Tzeis Kochav, until after nightfall of the first day, then you may start your preparations for the second day. So you want to warm up some food, which on Yom Tov you're allowed to do. The warming up of that food can only be done after Tzeis Kochav. So too, lighting candles for the sake of the second day can only be done after Tzeis Kochav, and should not be done beforehand, because there will be a problem of hachana. Therefore, in order not to confuse women, that first day you can light early, and second day you have to light late, so there are people who have the minhag that on Shabbos they light early, Chas V'Shalom, to light after Shkia. But in Yom Tov, since it's Mutzah to light after Shkia, obviously from an existing candle, you can't light, make the ignition of the candle, that's how we pass them, but you take it from an existing candle, and then you light your Yom Tov candles. So in order not, people don't know the reason, and then they get confused, so we just say, Yom Tov, you light late. In the Chatchila, as I said, one should, the first day Yom Tov, you light before Yom Tov comes in, and the second day you have to light after dark. And there are those who have the minutes to do the same on the first day, not to confuse the 2 days. There is other reasons that in our day and age where it's preferable to light early on the first day, because to light candles when there's electric light, we've spoken about this before, to light candles when there's electric light is problematic, because you have such sufficient light in your living room, why are you going and lighting a candle, making a brach on it? Elamai, what have we said? They should try and include the electric lights. But how do you include them? You don't just think about them. You should actually turn them on before Shabbos. So the same thing with Yom Tov. Your electric lights, you turn on the Chol Yom Tov, and then you light your candles, and then you have no problem. If you're lighting after Nacht, you can't turn off and turn on your electric lighting that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, and therefore you're lighting candles with this electric light that was on from before, and therefore your bracha doesn't really chal on the electric lighting. So you get into a bit of a problem over there. And therefore, I would tell people to prefer to light at least when they can. As I said, second night you don't have the option, but on the first night you have the option better to light before nightfall rather than later. If that's your minhag and that's the way you've always done it, I'm not going to tell you to change. Add one prat is that on second night, if your house is dark and you need light before Tzitzit Rechavim, then you can light candles on the second night because you need them now. It's just they can't be considered as second night candles. They're still considered light for the first day. And then when night comes, you will light candles for the second night and make a bracha on them. Okay, so we'll stop there for here. We've come to the end of our time. Your message and we'll continue the next time. We wish you all a wonderful week and a great day.
Thank you.
You're welcome.